चाहिए था ना पृथ्वी था चात्मनी धर विद्या रत्मनो माया यथा भासो यथा तमो. What appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy. For nothing can exist without me. It is like a reflection of a real light, the shadows. For in the light, there are neither shadows nor reflections. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Kaviraj Goswami, there is an important verse, Krishna Surya San Maya Vaya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Tahan Maya Adhikar, that Krishna is compared to the sun and Maya is compared to darkness. In the presence of the sun, darkness cannot survive. So what we have been discussing is the nature of this darkness and Maya. This is a very broad and deep subject. In fact, every university, every college has a whole itinerary of courses, syllabus, sometimes class, various classes being held as big as this Bhagavad Gita. And what are they teaching? They're teaching simply the nature of Maya. On every television, on every radio, on every billboard, in every business, people are simply trying to understand deeper and deeper the nature of Maya. But they are not trying to understand how to get out of Maya. They are trying to understand how to get more involved in Maya. That is the problem. But a devotee also wants to understand how this material nature is working, but from another point of view, from the point of view of getting out. Maya is simply to consider ourselves separate from Krishna. Just like when a spark separated from the fire. Although a spark is not different than the fire itself, because it is only a tiny part. When it is within the fire, it glows as part of the fire. But when it falls onto the ground separate than the fire, then very soon its radiance is extinguished. So we are like that. We are all part of Krishna. But when, due to forgetfulness, we separate ourselves from Krishna, then our spiritual qualities become covered, become veiled by the darkness of illusion. And therefore, a spiritual life is meant to simply yoga, reconnect ourselves with Krishna, reconnect the spark with the fire. This separateness is due to only one cause, forgetfulness. Because factually we can never be separated from Krishna. It is not possible. Because Krishna is everywhere and he is in everything. As the Paramatma, he is in everyone's heart. He is in and between every atom. He is within and without of everything. So how possibly can we be separate from Krishna? Forgetfulness. We forget our connection to Krishna. And that is what Maya really is in essence. It is that power that deludes the pure spirit soul to forget its own true identity, to forget its eternal nature and its eternal relationship with God. And therefore, when Lord Kapila Dev was speaking to his mother Devahuti, he explained that all the Vedas and all the great scriptures of the world, they are filled with hundreds and thousands of instructions and hundreds and thousands of philosophical analogies and examples. But ultimately, they are all meant to bring us to the consciousness of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. to always think of Krishna means simply to remember Krishna. And Krishna explains in the Gita, Antakali chamame vasmaran muktva kalebram, that one who simply remembers me at the time of death comes back to me. So this smaranam, or remembering, our relationship with Krishna is the sum and substance of spiritual life. Sometimes people become so much engrossed in being big, big philosophers that they forget Krishna. They become such good logicians and grammarians, but they don't remember Krishna. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the conclusion of all knowledge of Shastra is to simply chant the holy name. Because to chant the holy name means to directly remember Krishna, because Krishna is non-different than his name. And in remembering Krishna, we remember, we are again united with Krishna. The spark is again reunited with the fire. Maya, or the material energy, Krishna says, Tribir Gunamaya Bhavaya. This means this material nature is being conducted by the three modes of material nature, the three gunas. Sattva guna, raja guna, tama guna, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Guna literally means rope. We are bound by the ropes of these three modes. And being influenced by these three modes, we become attached. What does the rope do? It attaches you to something. If you're tied to a pole, or if you're chained to a rock, like a prisoner is, the prisoner is attached to that rock through the chain. A prisoner is attached to that pole through the rope. So in the same way, it is not so much the rope that causes the problem, but what you're attached to by the influence of the rope. A prisoner is someone who is chained to a big ball. The chain itself is not so bad, it's the ball that's chained. Do you understand? So similarly, Maya is that influence that chains us, like a rope that attaches us to the objects of the senses in this world. The object of the sense in and of itself is not bad. It is our attachment to the object of the senses. And the three modes of material nature, they are according to your particular consciousness. Maya, or material energy, is so expert that she knows exactly what will attract your mind. And she will tie you to that through the three modes of material nature. Someone who is rather self-controlled, who is highly cultured, who's moral, follows many even religious disciplines in his life, so easily attract him by the lower modes of nature. Therefore, she has to attach him somehow or other to sense gratification through piety, through charity, through poetry. Huh? In this way, she ties that rope around your heart and connects it to the objects of these forms of sense gratification in the mood of sattva guna. Those who are greedy, those who are lusty, Maya very easily takes that rope and connects it of rajaguna and connects your consciousness to sex pleasures, to lots of money, lots of fame, lots of prestige. And some people, they don't even care so much about these things. They just like to be intoxicated and sleep. So the mode of ignorance attaches, binds your consciousness by the rope of tamaguna and attaches you to these lower modes of sense enjoyment. So understand that Maya operates through the process of creating forgetfulness of Krishna on one side and attachment to sense gratification on the other. The nature of the soul is to be attracted. Maya covers your attraction to Krishna and awakens an attraction to sense enjoyment. And therefore, sometimes Maya is considered, just like we were explaining the other day, how it is a perverted reflection, just like a mirror. We cannot really enjoy a reflection in the mirror. All the pleasures of this world, all the aspirations that man is working so hard for, is only striving for a reflection. Krishna is the real substance behind everything. And similarly, Maya is also considered to be the manifestations of Maya, a mirage in the desert. It is said in the Vedanta Sutra, Ananda Mayo Vyashat. Ananda Mayo Vyashat. That means that every living entity is pleasure seeking by nature. And in this desert of material existence, the pleasure that we're looking for is water. In a desert, you become so thirsty, even if you're a very lusty man, if you're in a desert, you're not thinking so much about sex life. Even if you're a greedy man, you're not thinking so much about money. You're only thinking about one thing, water. Huh? You're desperately longing for water. So in this material world, we're all desperate for the water of pleasure, because we're by nature pleasure seeking. And what Maya does is she creates mirages. What appears to be water is not. Real water does exist, but the objects of the senses are like mirages. They cannot quench our thirst. And that is where we get the definition of Maya, that which is not. Whatever appears in this material world before our senses is not what it appears to be. And this is the difference between a learned soul and a less intelligent. Is the less intelligent man is taking Maya seriously. That whatever presentations and whatever allurements Maya puts before us, we accept them to be real. We take it to be what it appears to be. But a devotee, a jnani, and a bhakti, they must discriminate and understand that whatever presentations Maya puts before, it is not what it appears to be. If you don't have this power of discrimination, you will be baffled. In fact, Sripad Shankaracharya, he was a transcendentalist. His conclusion may have been impersonal Mayavad, but his idea of extracting the consciousness of our hearts away from this material energy, he elaborated very, very deeply. There was one book that he wrote, The Crest Jewel of Discrimination. Through this gyan, he was explaining that one must be very much always alert to discriminate. What something appears to be, but actually what it is. Therefore, a devotee must look into the future. He must see what is the real substance of something, and by indulging in this, what will be the reaction? This is jnana. This is knowledge. This Shankaracharya explains that the raised breasts of a young woman are the most attractive part of a woman's body. And for a man, woman is the complete manifestation of Maya. The absolute complete manifestation of Maya for a man is a woman's body. And Shankaracharya explains that these raised breasts of a woman are keeping a man's mind bound to material sense enjoyment, birth after birth after birth. But he explains, but analyze, what is it? It is simply blood, fat, stool, urine, so many gases. That's all it is. It appears to be something that can give us great pleasure, but actually in reality, it's nothing but the grossest substances which are utterly abominable, just mixed in such a way. And he explained that they represent lust and greed. I'm sorry, not lust and greed, lust and envy. And what you associate with, you become like. If you associate with the personifications of lust and envy, what happens to your consciousness? You become lusty and envious. This is one example of discrimination, as it taught by Shankaracharya. And yet the materialists, they consider it to be what it appears to be, just a very beautiful flower-like manifestation that will give me pleasures. And because they do not discriminate what is behind it, what is the reality, what is the truth of it, what is the result? That people just grow insatiably in these terrible qualities of lust and envy. Therefore, he taught the process of neti neti. Discriminate. God is not this and he's not that. Therefore, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told him, you are a young man. Your senses are still young and strong and full of vitality. If you do not understand the Vedanta Sutra according to my teachings, you will not be able to discriminate between what is real and what is illusionary. Therefore, a devotee, one of the great necessities of philosophy for a bhakta, because we are not jnanis, we are bhaktis. But Sarvabhauma also, when he became converted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach jnana, vairagya, and bhakti. Bhakti is a combination of jnana and vairagya. The fruit of knowledge is detachment. And the fruit of detachment is attachment to Krishna. Unless we have jnana, we cannot attain vairagya. Unless we have a philosophical conviction and a philosophical understanding of what is material energy and how it is working, and we're able to discriminate between the mirage and the real substance. At every moment in our life, we must make this discrimination. That is jnana. And on the basis of that jnana, when we understand what is real and what is unreal, what is Krishna and what is Maya, then we must detach ourselves. Maya, through the three modes of material nature, those gunas, are tying us to the objects of the senses, and that tie is through attachment. Therefore, the only way out is through the process of detachment. To the extent we are detached, to that extent we are not being puppets, repeatedly suffering in the hands of Maya. Krishna explains in Gita, and Prabhupada explains, this is one of the most important verses of Gita. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparata vasehi asyandriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. One must, an intelligent man, gyan means intelligent, an intelligent man must restrain his senses from the objects and fix his consciousness upon me. This essentially is what Krishna consciousness means, these two principles. Restraining our senses from their objects and fixing our consciousness on Krishna. And you cannot do one without the other. If you simply try to restrain your senses from their objects, Vishwamitra Muni, he did this to the ultimate extent. But because the nature of the soul is pleasure-seeking, eventually you have to fall down. Vishwamitra Muni, how much he detached himself from the objects of the senses. He would not eat, he would not sleep. He was performing tapasya in such a way that in the summer he would go into the blazing desert and light 8 fires around him. Without sleeping and eating, he would sit in meditation. And in the winter, he would go to the Himalayan peaks, the areas of Gomukh, and he would break the ice and go up to his neck in the water, and he would sit. What sense enjoyment can you derive from such conditions of life? He totally detached himself from the senses, but he did not experience an alternative. Param drisvani vartate, Krishna says in the Gita, no matter how much you detach yourself from the senses, if you do not experience a higher taste, you cannot maintain that position, detachment. So when Menaka, the heavenly damsel, came by, this beautiful apsara, just by hearing the tinkling of her ankle bells, his propensity for sense enjoyment was awakened. So simply by restraining the senses, it is not possible to maintain our spiritual dignity. And at the same time, simply by fixing your consciousness upon Krishna, it's not possible unless you're restraining your senses. Unless we very diligently detach our senses from the objects of senses, we cannot attach our consciousness to Krishna. So therefore, these two principles go side by side. Forcibly restraining the mind and senses away from the objects of the senses, which is only possible in the long, on an eternal basis, through bhakti, through fixing our consciousness on Krishna. Therefore, vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching knowledge of the nature of the soul, the nature of Krishna, the nature of Maya, and how to discriminate. Vairagya, how to detach ourselves on the basis of this jnana, this knowledge, from the material energy, from the mirages, from the reflections. And bhakti, culmination. On the basis of this knowledge and detachment, we always keep our mind and senses engaged in Krishna's loving service. Srila Prabhupada sometimes compares Maya to a ghost. When a person is haunted by a ghost, he's no longer himself. He says all nonsense things, He does all crazy things. So the pure spirit soul, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas, is an eternal servant of Krishna. But when the ghost of Maya comes into our heart, when we allow that ghost of Maya to come, we behave in such a way that we're not even recognizable as pure spirit souls anymore. When a family member is haunted by a ghost, the family, they see that this person is not himself. So that is our condition. We're possessed by the ghost of Maya. And we're behaving and we're speaking and we're doing all crazy things, insane things. We're not ourselves. The spiritual master is like the exorcist. Teaches us how to liberate ourselves from this ghost of Maya and resume our original natural position. And that is why it is very, very important that we must have an association of advanced devotees of the Lord. A bound person cannot disentangle himself. A drowning man cannot save himself. If you are bound by ropes, you must call upon the help of someone who is not bound by ropes. If you are drowning in the ocean and you don't know how to swim, you have to call upon someone who knows how to swim, who is not drowning. If you are haunted by a ghost, you cannot call upon somebody else haunted by a ghost to help you. Therefore, all the endeavors in this material world for liberation from suffering are just a grand illusion. The only way to alleviate the sufferings and bondage of this world is we must attach ourselves to the lotus feet of the Lord's divine representatives. Because Maya cannot cover Krishna. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacha. Krishna is the controller of this material energy. Krishna is never under the influence of Maya. And his representatives, who are in this world on his behalf, they are bringing us to his lotus feet. Krishna says that he is the true friend of all living beings because he's the only one who can help us. If you're drowning, a friend is a person who can kick you out. If you're starving for water, a friend is one who can give you water. If you're bound by ropes, a friend is someone who can disentangle you from the rope. Krishna is the only friend. Because he is the only one that is eternally above the illusory energy. And anybody who brings us to Krishna, he is equally a friend as Krishna, because there's no things equal to the same thing or equal to each other. Therefore, we must submissively, this is the process of disentangling ourselves from the complexities of Maya. Through our own mind and through our own endeavors, it is impossible. We must submissively attach ourselves to hearing and rendering service to Krishna's representatives. This is the one and only process in which we can be saved from this condition of material life, the repetition of birth and death. Is there any questions? I'd like to read from the Gita very briefly. Arjuna said to Krishna in the 36th verse of the third chapter, O descendant of Vrishni, By what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajogana Shabhubhava Mahashino Mahapadma Vidyena Mihalaya. The Blessed Lord said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material modes of passion, and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, similarly, the living entity is covered by different degrees of this lust. Lust or kama means material attachment. The three modes of material nature that we're speaking of are all based on this principle of kama, or lust, attachment. Thus, a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, kama, by regulating the senses, and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. And then Krishna goes on to explain what we are discussing, how to discriminate. The working senses are superior to dull matter, mind is higher than the senses, intelligence is still higher than the mind, and the soul is even higher than the intelligence. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to material senses, mind, and intelligence, one should control the lower self by the higher self, thus, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy. Lust. Now, what I would like all of you to do, these Bhagavad Gita's are available here, devotees. I would like the devotees to study the translations and purports to these verses. Chapter 3, text 37 through 43. Questions?
There's a specific mention in this section which I was supposed to speak on that. There's no necessity.
First of all, is there any questions in the discussion that we've had today?
You said that only detachment is not enough and only attachment to Krishna will come. But if we have to make additional effort to make the detachment after being attached to Krishna's devotional service? Or is it included in that?
Said in the Bhagavatam, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitam Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayadavati. That means when one achieves bhakti, one automatically achieves all knowledge and detachment. They are included. But the problem is achieving bhakti. Once you're attached to Krishna, there's no need to detach yourself from anything else. But in the process of attaching ourselves to Krishna, we have to detach ourselves from those things which are not Krishna. Why do we take a vow to follow the four regulative principles? If we're already situated in pure attachment to Krishna, there's no need for such a vow. You won't have the slightest inclination to these things. The process of devotional service is jnanam vairagya. As well, it is included within the process of devotional service. Why has Srila Bhaktipada written so many books? Why has Srila Prabhupada written so many books? To teach us how to discriminate between what is service to Krishna and what is service to our senses, and to convince our minds constantly. Huh? Why do we follow the four regulative principles? It is detachment. So therefore, in the advanced stages, there is simply love of Krishna. There's no influence of Maya. But in the beginning stages, we must simultaneously, Tani Saravani Samyamya Yukta Asitama, we must struggle to restrain our senses from the objects and struggle to keep our senses fixed on Krishna. They must go side by side. That is why Srila Prabhupada, so many gurus, they just speak of Krishna's lila. Prabhupada speaks more about the miseries of the material world than he does about Krishna's lila. You've heard his tapes, you've read his books. He speaks more about how this material world is a miserable place than he does about Krishna's lila direct. Why? I remember one time he was giving a lecture and he explained. Because Krishna's lila is above your head. You cannot really, until you detach yourself from the aspiration to enjoy this world, you cannot really appreciate Krishna's lila. Therefore, he told Krishna's lila. But unless hearing Krishna's lila along with understanding the miseries of this material world and detaching yourself from it, you cannot really appreciate it. You'll just take it to be something of this world, something else to enjoy, something else to be entertained by. So therefore, the great acharyas, they are teaching more about the miseries of material existence than they are about the pleasures of the spiritual world, because unless we're convinced that this material world is a miserable place, we're never going to really take seriously taking shelter of the spiritual world. Huh? When we understand the truth and the reality of this material world, we will aspire to detach ourselves from it. So they must be cultivated simultaneously. Detachment and attachment. Detachment from Maya and attachment from Krishna. Everyone understands this principle?
What is the best of a detachment? Because we see most of the often is this way that we feel that we are detached, From an internal point of consciousness, we are somewhat detached. So what is the test that we can just go on testing ourselves that we are detached from that object?
Mamcha yogya vicharena bhakti yogenas Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. The test is that your service to Guru and Krishna is never interrupted. This is what Bhagavad Gita teaches. This particular verse is really the perfect answer to your question. Mam cha yovya vicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samati kyaitan brahma bhuya yakalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahma. When our devotional service to our Guru and Krishna is never interrupted, that is the test. Huh? So therefore, this should be our striving. least be engaged in devotions.
In spite of having this knowledge, if we are still attached, can we do things that we are conditioned more? So much condition that they still not come. That's why we require devotion. And the second thing is, maybe our desire is not strong. But if we said that if we are already, when we take initiation, it's already that all the past karmas are taken by me. If that is so, then is it a sign of advancement is only because our desire is strong? That is the only thing. And why are we still doing it in spite of that? Is it because of the desire not being strong?
Everything rests on our desire. The fact that we are conditioned, what is that conditioning? It is what is polluting our desire. Conditioning means, due to previous sinful activities, our desire has become very corrupt and impure. If we were not conditioned, our desire would be for pure devotional service 24 hours a day. The conditioning is what pollutes our desire. Because Krishna is in your heart and he sees. Due to weakness of heart of previous conditioning, our desire may be very weak, but if we desire that desire for devotional service, Krishna will fulfill that desire. Ultimately, Krishna will fulfill whatever desire you have. The problem is we don't desire Krishna. That is the result of our condition. Therefore, we have to recondition ourselves. And that's what Vaidhi Bhakti means. Vaidhi Bhakti means reconditioning. You accept a different lifestyle. You accept a different type of association. You accept a completely different subject matter to meditate upon. And in this way, you're reconditioning your whole life. So that natural tendency to desire for Krishna will grow. Spiritual life means reconditioning ourselves. Extracting ourselves away from that previous conditioned state we were in and putting ourselves in a place where we can be completely reconditioned. That is why the association of devotees is so vital for a neophyte especially.
But if our conditioning is due to the past karma, and it is said that all the past karma is taken, why is it still?
Just like if a car is going 200 kilometers an hour, and it runs out of gas, does it stop? According to how fast it was going, it's going to take that long before it stops. It might take 2 miles, 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers before it stops. Right? So when you take initiation, what happens is that conditioning that was pushed, you're out of gas in that sense. Now, if you put more gas in after you get initiated, then you're going to continue your conditioning. In other words, all the sins that you have performed, the Guru and Krishna takes that by their causeless mercy. But still, the inertia of those sins is still with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you put more gas in, you're going to keep going again. So therefore, therefore by strictly following the principles given by the spiritual master, we're not putting any more karma into our life. It's taken away, but the problem is we still have that inertia. Prabhupada also uses the example that if you pull the plug out of a fan, the fan keeps going. There's no more electrical current in it to push it. But just by the conditioning of moving, it continues to move. Huh? So it's the same principle. When we take initiation, the plug's pulled out. There's no more karma pushing you to do that. But the traces of that karma, the